More nurseries for blind children, like the one she'd opened in Detroit and in London. No one had ever so risen above handicaps like hers.
She talks of things concerning which she knows nothing, could not possibly know anything.
The eldest child of Captain Arthur H. Keller and Kate Adams Keller, both of old American families. But Helen and Annie recognized the power of the personal appearance, and they had a mission. For 2 years, they trooped the vaudeville circuit with tumblers, midgets, dance acts, and trained seals. A part of their act was later filmed with sound. It is the only existing record of Annie Sullivan's voice. Legend has it that a traveling salesman told her parents of a book. The author spoke of a school where a deaf-blind woman had been taught to read and write. From the Perkins Institute for the Blind came Helen's liberator, young Anne Mansfield Sullivan. Annie Sullivan, herself half-blind as a child, broke at last through the darkness and silence of Helen's life. Working small, patient miracles, she led Helen Keller into realizing that around her was another world, unseen, unimagined, a world of sight and sound where communication was possible between human beings by speaking and writing. Their 1919 lecture season ended in Hollywood. They were welcomed by Charlie Chaplin, Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford, Alexander Graham Bell, inventor of the telephone, helped Annie Sullivan chart the course of Helen's education. She had been a famous little girl. Now she became a famous young lady. Scholars, teachers, journalists, romancers began to write about her. She was sentimentalized. She was idealized. She was criticized. She was praised. During college, Helen had written The Story of My Life. Now she began writing articles and books about the needs of the deaf and the blind. With Mrs. Coolidge, she spoke the manual language. Like all the great, she was given honorary degrees. In the 50 years since Helen graduated from Radcliffe, Robert Smithers of St. John's in Brooklyn is the only other deaf-blind person to have achieved a college degree. Were it not for the pioneering work of Anne Sullivan Macy and the Perkins Institute, Smithers and these others might still be prisoners of the silent dark. At 9, she began a correspondence with the poet John Greenleaf Whittier. October 21st, 1936, Helen's teacher, companion, and beloved friend for nearly 50 years, Anne Sullivan Macy, died.
If I know anything about literature, here's a fine and great and noble sample of it, and it will pass into our literature as a classic and remain so.
I wonder if anyone has ever made his first appearance upon the platform with keener anguish. Terror invaded my flesh, my mind froze, my heart stopped beating. I kept repeating, what shall I do?